Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you missed anything of anything we about anybody we talked about today, let's change that. If you missed anybody talking about any of the things we talked about today, all you have to do is download the Odyssey app. You can use the rewind feature, and you can go back to listen anytime you want. You can do that like 24 hours ago on WWL, or you can go to WWL.com and click on my name to see what we talked about, or you can click on Mike Dettillier's name to see what he was talking about on Friday and what they will talk about today. I'll tell you what he's going to talk about right now with us is LSU spring football, the Saints win total, and LSU losing a coach. How you doing, Mike Dettillier? All right, well, all right, thank you, Tim. That, you know, might have been helpful to tell me that a little bit before. Mike Dettillier, WWNFL analyst, goes to Sports Talk. Are you there, Mike?
Yes, I am.
How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Tom.
Look, I'd rather have Tim here messing stuff up than at some air traffic control tower somewhere. You know what I mean?
No, we'll Tim take it here. Tim does a great job, man.
Well, sometimes. Sure he does. Let's talk about Saints win total. What's Vegas saying?
They're looking at 9, 9.5, depending on where you want to gamble your money. And so early, I'm going to just say that's a pretty high number.
It's a high number.
I really thought it would be 9 at the highest. 8.5 probably is where I thought it would be, because normally those change a little bit as you work into the draft and afterwards. So early on, that goes to show you what they think of Derek Carr.
It really does, and it also goes to show you what they think of the NFC South, because they got the Saints winning the division with 9.5 wins by 2 games.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Absolutely. And so those change, and they make a lot of money off those prop bets. To be honest with you, there's a gentleman from my area of the country that works for one of the casinos, and he's one of the top sports odd makers. He tells me they do pretty well with those prop bets in the offseason. But it is early, and it is sort of surprised me at 9.5, to be honest with you. I didn't think it would be that high.
What was it last season?
It started at 7.5 and went all the way up to 9.
And everybody thought that was a gift to bet the over on that, right? Don't I remember that right?
Yeah. I took 7.5. I thought, man, you know, that's going to be money in my pocket. Didn't happen. But it started at 7.5 and actually went up to 9.
So what
and,
is it that
you
they
know,
don't?
You ended up being a 7-win team.
What is it that they don't see in Derek Carr?
Come back again now?
What is it that they do not see in Derek Carr? What I'm asking is, they don't say, obviously, if they're saying 9.5, they don't see a lot in Derek Carr. So what is it that they think he doesn't have and should have, right? Or that the Saints don't have and should have?
At 9.5 with Derek Carr, they think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFC completely, which you really can't argue that when you take a look at some of the other starters in the NFL. And the fact, too, is I think there was a little bit of surprise that the Saints were able to bring back Michael Thomas because I think all of us over a month ago would have felt Thomas isn't returning. Now, can you tell me how many games he's going to play would be the ultimate bet, but I I think that that surprised the people who do the odds that Thomas would return back to this team.
Wait, you're telling me they thought Derek Carr would be effective and that's why it's 9.5?
Well, why wouldn't it be? They're not putting it at 9.5. They didn't think he wasn't going to be.
Well, I thought it'd be higher than that, though, if they thought he was going to.
No. Tommy, early number at 9.5 for this team who won 7?
Yeah, I know.
That's a huge jump. You're talking about, you know, over 2 games here that they think they'll win more.
Okay.
That for betting purposes, that's a lot to jump from a 7-win team to a 9-win team.
Well,
and actually, you're betting one way or another at 9.5. You're either betting you get the 10 wins or you don't.
Well, wait, maybe I'm wrong. I was looking at this as being pessimistic, but it's kind of optimistic.
Well, you're damn right it's optimistic.
Well, don't sugarcoat it, Mike. Just tell me.
No. It's optimistic if they feel that way. Now, again, it's early because the early thought last year really was their best thought at 7.5. Because you won 7 games. And then it trickled all the way up until it got to 9. But their initial thought of 7.5 wins, and think about where you finished.
Right.
You were a 7-win team. That was really close. Again, you could say if ifs and buts and candies and that, we'd all be celebrating Christmas
right
today. But it was really close. It was really close to reality, to where it was, and you think about early, this jumps at 9.5. That's optimistic for this football team.
What could change this one way or the other in a draft?
If you could end up with an impact player on either side of the ball, that's what I think Vegas is looking for, is a potential impact player. If it's at the running back position, if it's another receiver or tight end, if it's an edge rusher, because they feel those can sort of tilt a game or two one way or another. That would tilt it to possibly even getting it to 10. Hmm.
Tell me who some names we should look for in a draft.
For the
and
Saints
positions.
Picking as late as it is, I wouldn't be surprised it ended up being a big man. Either an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. And I know they've picked up a couple of defensive linemen, but for me, that's still an area of concern. You and I spoke about this last year. The biggest concern going into the season for me was offensive line play. Having watched the OTAs and watched the workouts, man, that was a concern for me. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being a major concern. You couldn't run the football when you needed to and you had to. And it's a major concern for me this year of can you protect now your star quarterback? And can you run the football effectively? Okay, it's not a sexy thing about winning the battle in the trenches. But if you don't win it there, you ain't getting nowhere.
Watch your first series of the game, my friend. You know that, Mike. You can pretty well get an idea for what's going to go on, don't you think, in a pit?
Yeah. The other thing, too, is you just can't flip the switch and decide in the fourth quarter we're going to run the ball. You got to do it from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people have this, you know, and even Sean sort of, he gave me a little bit of, well, all we got to do is run the football 30 times right off the bat. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that if you don't run the football well early, you're not running it late well in the fourth quarter. It's not a light switch you can flip on.
Absolutely true. I agree.
And so I think that this team has to look at that and say, we didn't win up front on both sides. Because last year, I think the biggest surprise for me, they couldn't stop the run early in the season. And I think they did a much better job from midseason on. But early on, a team that had really prided themselves on stopping the run, they got gashed by some teams. And I think that is why you've seen some movement up front along the defensive tackle position. Onyemata leaves, goes to Atlanta. And, you know, you have different elements there that are still in play, and you brought in two new defensive tackles. So that area for me is still a question mark. And do we know any more today about Peyton Turner, your former first-round pick of 2 years ago, than you did the way you knew about him when he came in? He hadn't played much, mm-hmm. and he's been injured. And then what really surprised me, a healthy scratch late in the season. And no Marcus Davenport, who really didn't make a big impact last year. Now, 2 years ago, he was a man out on that field. But you saw the erratic play and the inconsistencies of his nature. So I would not be shocked with that first-round pick. They go big man.
And when big man last year, Trevor Penning had a hard time staying on the field. Thoughts?
Yeah, for him it's sort of bad luck, okay, injury-wise. One leg, one foot, then you injure the other foot. Man, listen, injuries do happen in this game. What I like from him is his tenacity. He's a really good run blocker. What really hurts is the fact that he's not getting in that time that he could have working on some pass blocking skills, techniques, which will either make him or break him in this league. Because I think he can play as a run blocker. He is very good in that capacity. The question mark is how quickly can he come around as a protector of the quarterback on the left side, a quarterback's blind spot.
So would you give him a thumbs up, thumbs down, or a shrug emoji at this point?
I would give him a thumbs up as a run blocker and a question mark as a pass protector.
All right, let's talk about this defensive line coach that Sean Payton poached from LSU. How important is that?
Well, Jamar was a really good recruiter. I mean, that I know about him. We've only met, I think, twice. I was impressed with him. He's a good technical coach. He's brought in really as a pass rush specialist. His connection was really not Sean Payton. It's Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, who was also a New Orleanian.
Shaw High graduate.
Yep, and that's the connection. Him and Vance go back. In the coaching ranks, and so they knew one another pretty well. And Sean, you know, certainly I get it. You know, he's going to take advice from Vance on who he wants on the defensive side. For LSU, you lost a really good recruiter and a guy that I thought potentially could be a head coach at the college ranks one day.
Wasn't Van Joseph the head coach of the Denver Broncos at one point?
Sure was.
And he's back as a defensive coordinator?
That's correct.
That doesn't happen often, does it?
Well, it's a new owner. You know, yeah. He know how to make his money every time you go in Walmart. He does make pretty good money that way. So, you know, him, he didn't care. That's somebody else's issue. You know, okay, he didn't make it as a head coach. Doesn't mean he can't coach. Just meant he didn't make it as a head coach. But he's a really good defensive coordinator. And
well, let me tell you what I'm thinking of here, Mike, is if Dennis Allen doesn't get it done, maybe it sets a precedent for Dennis Allen returning to be the defensive coordinator if they got to bring in another coach.
Well, you still got the same owner and the same people at the top. See, it's a little bit different when you change management and the ownership change with the Broncos. And that was a big part of it.
Makes
Listen,
it easier for everybody.
Sean at one time wanted to bring back Vic Fangio, who they just fired 2 years ago. Man, listen, Sean don't care about all that, and neither did, you know, the people that were in charge. Hey, that was somebody else's issue. It's not mine. You know, so that's just the way business goes today in the NFL.
Yeah. So it makes it easier if the ownership changes for everybody?
Yeah, sure enough.
I got you. All right. What y'all talking about today on Sports Talk, Mike?
Well, certainly LSU getting to the Final Four with Kim Mulkey. A crazy way of the teams getting into the Final Four. We're going to have a couple of the Saints that have re-signed back with the teams. Malcolm Roach, And Isaac Yadam is going to be on with us, and Coach Scott Spinelli to break down the Final Four and how those teams got there. And there's not a 1, 2, or 3 seed in the Final Four.
I love it.
Unprecedented.
I love it. It's better than last year that was here. A lot of people don't remember the Final Four was here. And it was the usual suspects last year. You know. All right, Mike, thank you. Have a great
Appreciate
day.
Appreciate it, buddy.
We'll talk to you. We'll listen to you rather this evening. And Tim wants to give some love to Sam Burns, LSU professional golfer that won the World Golf Championship yesterday match play. All right, taking a break, come back. We'll find out what Newell Norman's got planned for us today here on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.